Coming up on today's show.
Look, I'm not going to say good luck to you, but I'm going to say play well. We pray for ourselves not to get injured and for the other team as well, and just to do our best. So the message is very clear with these guys that winning is not the most important thing.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, the SiriusXM app, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks, about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net or .com. They'll both get you to the same place. Be sure that you have signed up there for the free Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter that gets sent out every Monday when a new episode comes out. Social media for this show, Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram, all of which there are links for at the top of the website. I invite you to engage with me and the show through one or more of those. The Catholic Sports Radio community, that's the Facebook group, whose members are both listeners and some past guests. There is no cost to join that. The quick way to find it is the big white button that is immediately below my picture near the top of the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. I really enjoy hearing from listeners. Social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. There are a lot of occurrences in sports that make fans worry about the franchise that they so rabidly support. Maybe it's that the head coach gets replaced too often, or perhaps even the general manager. Players don't last long with the team in terms of getting traded or walking away in free agency. Certainly, it could be losing season after losing season. Sometimes it deteriorates all the way to signs that new ownership is needed. And with how common it has become for teams to move, fans start to worry, is this the beginning of the end? Can anything be done, or are we going to lose our team? Meanwhile, when we take our eyes off of sports and look at the end of our nose, we might fear that the foundation we are on is similarly on shaky ground. There's tension, there's weakness, there's fear, and clearly a need for hope. Take solace, though, in what we are told in the New Testament, specifically Acts chapter 16, verse 31, which says, quote, "And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you and your household will be saved." Moving on now with this week's episode. As a youth, my guest played football, basketball, and ran track, and then in high school played football, going on then to be on the football roster for Catholic University in Washington, D.C. He went on to become the offensive line coach at Georgetown Prep from 1984 through 2023, retired from coaching after the 2023 season, but came back this season to help the new offensive line coach transition from having been their tight ends coach. On top of all that, he has also coached his own children in youth basketball and lacrosse. Along the way, in 2014, he received the John W. Voight Award from the Maryland Football Coaches Association Hall of Fame, was inducted into the Georgetown Prep Sports Hall of Fame in 2019, and last year was a Georgetown Prep Insignis Medal recipient, which is the school's highest honor. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Mike Fagan.
Thank you, Bruce. Great to be here. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. My pleasure, Mike. We can use context clues to mentally put ourselves, say, in the Mid-Atlantic region, but where specifically were you born and raised, and what was the family size?
Sure. Born in Washington, D.C., raised in Rockville, Maryland, right outside of D.C., I am the fourth of five kids, two older sisters, an older brother, and a younger sister.
I know you're a cradle Catholic, but describe for us the presence of the faith in the Fagan household when you were a young boy.
Very present. We, of course, went to church every Sunday at Holy Cross Parish, our parish here in Garrett Park, Maryland. And mom was in the choir for up until about 80 years old, up until about 11 years ago. So, you know, the faith was always there for us. You know, we went to Catholic schools as well.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you if there was a Catholic school attached to the parish. So was it grammar school only, or did it continue?
It was Holy Cross was just a grammar school. When we were there, it was first through eighth grade. Now it's pre-K through eighth.
And for high school, was that a public school you attended, or that was Catholic also?
It was Catholic. My brother and I attended Georgetown Prep. My three sisters attended private girls' schools.
Okay. Well, in grade school, you played football, basketball, and ran track. How did you first get interested in participating in sports, not to mention so many of them, but then what made you settle on football as the one that you would stick with?
Sure. So my father was a head football coach here at Georgetown Prep from 1961 to 1996. So it was ingrained in us. I think we were basically born with the football in our hand. he was athletic director as well. So we were always around sports. We grew up two blocks from campus. So we were at our second home whenever we weren't in school, certainly watching the older guys with football and basketball and baseball and other sports.
Okay. Now, way back on episode 21 of this show, June of 2019, my guest was Mike Gutilius, the head football coach at the Catholic University of America. Mike Fagan, in the intro, I said that after high school, you were on the football roster for Catholic University, but here's the plot twist. You decided not to play. Walk us through the decision. Did you pray about it? How did that ultimately sit with you? How did you make peace with it?
Yeah, I was on the roster. Back then, Division III did not require you to have a whole lot of size. I did not have a whole lot of size as an offensive lineman, so I could have played. I didn't pray about it. I probably should have in hindsight. Yeah, you know, I just had other interests and decided not to do it. Recently, a good friend of mine asked if I had any regrets. He played up at Dartmouth, had a great college career. And for a period of time, I did have regrets. But looking back, I know if I had played and I'd stayed at Catholic all 4 years, I would not have met my wife, would not have had the beautiful family that I have right now. So in that regard, I do not regret having not played there.
Yeah, I almost hesitate to call it a silver lining because it's so much bigger than that. I wonder, though, were some of those regrets while you were still a student, or was it later in life?
It was while I was still college age, for sure.
Which had to make it even tougher, right? Because you're still there and the team is still practicing and playing around you, and you're knowing, I was on that roster. I could be out there right now.
That's correct. Yeah, that was a little bit difficult, for sure.
What was happening in your faith life in your young adulthood?
You know, in the young adulthood, I got away from the church. I was more of a CNE Catholic, Christmas and Easter. And much, I'm sure, to my parents' chagrin, you know, I still had faith, but I certainly wasn't practicing. And certainly that is a regret.
Would you say that you fell away from the church? I mean, if you're only going twice a year, it sounds like there wasn't really much room to be connected to the church.
Absolutely. Fell away from the church. Yes.
So what was it that I'll say brought you back?
So, you know, you start having kids and you start realizing how I was brought up and the values and the morals that I was taught through from my parents, from the nuns and from the Jesuit priests, and wanted to raise my children that same way.
And so continue the story, because I know that there was a moment, an occurrence that really kind of triggered things for you.
There sure was. So when the kids were young, we as a family would go to church every Sunday. When my oldest, who's my daughter, was the time for her to do her first confession, I thought, oh man, I better go be an example. And I was probably 33, 34 years old, and I hadn't been to confession since the age of 17.
Oof.
So we went to the school where my kids went and to the church, and a line starts forming behind me. And I tell these folks, I haven't been in 16 or 17 years. And they quickly dispersed. And I went in there for about 20, 25 minutes with a young priest at the time who was very gracious. And I think I spent 20 plus minutes in there. I had a great confession. And he's actually our Monsignor now, and he's the pastor of the church that we currently attend. So yeah, I love seeing him every Sunday.
Wow. Wow. What a beautiful story. And it's an invitation, audience. You know, the sacrament of confession is available to us anytime. You don't have to wait until the parish Lenten penance service. You don't have to wait until the parish Advent penance service. And so if you've fallen away in the way that Mike just described, in his case, you know, 16 or 17 years, we hear this regularly, do we not, friends, where our priest will tell us when confession service, like I just referred to, is coming up, and they'll say, hey, if you haven't been in a long time, I've heard confessions from people that come in and say it's been 30 years. You know, you're always welcome. It's never too late. And so great testimony here from Mike Fagan so far. And friends, I have been sharing this the last couple weeks and want to pass it along again because I'm always optimistic that we have some first timers listening. Although then again, some of you who have already heard it might appreciate getting the details again. Alliance Catholic Credit Union created Alliance Catholic Foundation to increase opportunities to minister to the community. If you are interested in promoting Catholic culture, become a friend of the foundation. When you join online, you will receive a welcome packet and have an opportunity to open an account with Alliance Catholic Credit Union. Learn more at alliancecatholicfoundation.org. Federally insured by NCUA. And be sure to tell them you heard about them on Catholic Sports Radio. Mike Fagan has a related story to what you just heard him say, and it borders on a reversion, dare I say, to his Catholic faith. So I'm going to want him to share that witness too. This ministry has been showing up, though, every single week. And today, friends, I am asking if you will join the team. In the book, A Spirituality of Fundraising, the late Catholic priest and spiritual writer Henry Nouwen reminds us that asking for financial support is really an invitation into a vision, into the work that God has given us to do. Catholic Sports Radio is that work for me. For more than 6.5 years, I have shown up every week, not because it's my job, which it's not, but because God placed this ministry on my heart, and it is a joy to bring these conversations about faith and sports to you and to listeners, dare I say, around the world. But ministry, like any mission, needs partners. Henry Nouwen says that when we invite people to give, we are asking them to join us in something eternal, to connect their treasure to their heart. Your gift is not just covering a hosting fee or an equipment cost. It is placing a share of your own story into what God is doing through Catholic Sports Radio. If you feel called to give, you can do so through the blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net or by contacting me through the website or social media to mail me a check. With your permission, I would be honored to thank you on a future episode or keep you anonymous if you prefer. Please prayerfully consider making a one-time gift, not to me personally, but into the abundant work that God is doing here. Because when you give, you are not just helping keep Catholic Sports Radio going, you're proclaiming with me that Christ belongs in every arena. Mike, there is something that you recommend for couples who are having trouble communicating based on an experience that you and your wife had back in 2010. To the extent that you're comfortable, share about what was happening and what that was that the two of you did in terms of something that you really suggest that couples consider in that situation.
Sure, sure. So as most married couples do, we had some trying times. And back in 2009, 2010, we were going through a lot. And we vowed to get through it. And we decided to do a retreat, a weekend couples retreat called Retrovi. It's French for rediscovery. Mm. It is Catholic based, but any denomination can attend.
Ah, okay.
And it's really all about communication. So whether it's marriage, family, sports, business, you have to have good communication. And our communication wasn't good, as a lot of couples fall into. And so what was really interesting is that Friday of the weekend, the body language of all the couples, you could tell there was something wrong. Mm. And my wife and I were the only ones to really be look like we were happy. Mm. By the end of the weekend, that Sunday, one couple dropped out, unfortunately, but all the other couples holding hands, happy as can be. Mm. I mean, it was a great experience, and they do have follow-up as well. So I have encouraged, ever since then, I've encouraged couples who have gone through some difficulties to attend that, and I'll continue to do that as well.
And say the word again so that people can look up online where that might be available near them.
Sure. It's Retrovi, and it's RETRUVAILLE.
Okay. Now, before I had gone into the break, you told us about how in your mid-30s, when your oldest child was making her first confession, you figured you needed to be an example and go to confession for what would be the first time in 17 years or so. Fast forward from there to about 10 years ago, and you had another experience around confession that bears sharing with us today, because you say that it was actually a bit of a reversion for you.
Yes, about 10 years ago, I went to confession. It had been a couple of years, and I confessed my sins. I thought I was done, and the priest asked if I had missed Mass in that time period. I said, yes, you know, a couple of times, and I kind of said it flippantly, like it was no big deal. But he got so angry that I was acting that way and really let me have it with both barrels, and I left after doing my penance, thinking, my gosh, well, this priest doesn't want people to come to confession because, you know, he really laid into me. But I got to tell you, Bruce, it worked, because from that point on, I didn't miss Mass on Sundays and holy days. He really got to me, so I'm glad he was tough on me.
Now, that's impressive, though, because we do fall into the trap when we're involved with sports of, well, I had to miss a couple times because the team was traveling, or we had a home game, or we had a insert football activity here. Was that ever the case, or has Georgetown Prep been committed to, oh, we're not doing football or any other sports on Sunday?
I don't want to say we've never had a game on Sundays. I think we've had a couple of rain delays. I think we've had two games in the past 65 years on Sundays.
Wow.
But the great thing about here at Georgetown Prep is that we've got team mass. So whether it's a Friday game, Saturday game, we do a team mass that my dad instituted and when he first started here in 1961, and the current coach has carried on that tradition. And by the way, we've only had two coaches in 65 years, and Dan Perro, our current head coach, has upheld many of those traditions, and team mass being one of them. And Coach Perro tells our guys every year that that is the most important thing we do as a team, is our team mass. So we have not conflicted really on with the Sunday mass, but even if we did, we would take care of it with the team mass.
This is probably a difficult question to answer because it's something that might be said in the hallway or in the classroom or away from the football environment, but I love hearing him say that. But are there instances where players are going, well, I get what he's saying, but I mean, obviously, I mean, this is, we win this game, we go on to the championship. Obviously, this is most important. I get it about Mass. Do you know if that goes on? Have there had to be instances where he has had to say, no, guys, nothing is more important than Mass?
He's never had to actually come out and say it, because the boys just know that it is the most important thing we do. And our president now is our team chaplain. We've only had four team chaplains in 65 years, and Father Van Dyke does a wonderful job. He is the only Jesuit here, the only priest here on campus. So he wears a lot of hats, and he's now our team chaplain. And his message is always, look, I'm not going to say good luck to you, but I'm going to say play well. We pray for ourselves not to get injured, and for the other team as well, and just to do our best. So the message is very clear with these guys that winning is not the most important thing. But of course, that is a goal that we have, that every team has, or any individual sport, is to win the championship. But it's how you handle the defeats along the way that's most important.
But it's important, Mike, that the audience hears what you just shared, because I think the tendency is to assume, which is always a bad word, period, but that the priest, the chaplain, whoever it is, would come in and say a prayer and say, we ask that you look with favor upon the team, that they enjoy victory today, et cetera, et cetera. So it's important that the audience hears what the prayers are, and that it's not for, please let us win.
Correct. Yeah, we don't preach that message. I mean, certainly it's a goal, but we don't pray for that.
We need to maintain a degree of anonymity here. But Mike, talk about, I'll say, getting mad at God and a related homily that you heard, no surprise, right when you needed to hear it.
Yes, yeah. So something awful happened to a loved one of mine many, many years ago, and I didn't find out about it until about 6 years ago. About 5 years went by, and you know, of course I was upset at the situation, but I never got upset at God. And then one day, I just let him have it. I just couldn't take it anymore. And just a few days later, which by the way, I had never done before. I've never gotten mad at God. That's not a good thing to do. But a few days later, I'm in Mass, and the homily was about free will, and that God gives us all free will, and that unfortunately some people choose to do evil things with that free will. So the timing couldn't have been better. And it definitely was not a coincidence that was preached that day.
That's right. That's right. Well, let's get back to football. We've talked an awful, awful lot about our faith, but we do need to emphasize the sports part of Catholic Sports Radio. Georgetown Prep, tell me if I have this straight, Mike. You know, even though it's on the internet, doesn't mean it's true. Georgetown Prep is not only a boys grades 9 to 12 Jesuit college preparatory school, but it's the only Jesuit boarding school in the United States? Is that correct?
Well, I believe there are other Jesuit boarding schools. I'm not sure, but I can tell you that it is the oldest Catholic boarding and day school for boys in the United States.
Okay.
We go back all the way to 1789.
Whoa. Whoa.
Yeah.
16 varsity sports, and you mentioned your father. That's amazing. It sounds like he's the one that started the football program. You have been a big, big part of their football program for 40-plus years now. So just tell us more about Mike Fagan and Georgetown Prep football, the 2025 season, or anything else that you want to share with us about. Especially, you know, I was interested to hear before. I think the mistake we make is we say, well, it's a sport being played at a Catholic school, so it's probably easy for them to incorporate faith and sports. Bruce, interview coaches from public schools, and let's hear how they're doing it. But I still think that these guys have to come there thinking, as we were saying before, football first, football, football, football. And you're there to say, yeah, we're of course going to do X's and O's and strategies. And of course, we want to win, but we're also going to talk about faith. So just talk about the football program, because you've been a part of it for so, so many years.
Sure. Yeah, I've actually been a part of it since I could walk. And even before then, when I first was on campus, I was in my mother's womb, because I was born in November, and of course it was football season in 1965, and mom attended all the games. So it's been a wonderful experience for me for almost 60 years. And I started coaching at the age of 18. I was a sophomore in college, and I was the assistant offensive line coach to my offensive line coach, Franny Gleason, for a few years. And then I had the pleasure of coaching with so many coaches, alongside Stuart Plank, who was the co-offensive line coach for 27 years with me. And he and I kind of retired together a couple years ago. And it's just been a real joy to have coached these guys. I keep in contact with many of them and love to see the men that they've become, the fathers that they've become, and the successes that they've had. And you know, yes, like you said, we do preach X's and O's because you have to, but it's a whole lot more than X's and O's. You know, we get to spend 3 hours a day with these guys, more than their parents, more than any teacher.
Whoa.
So we have a big influence on these young men, and we have to be good examples.
Whoa, I'll say. So I'm doing the math then. You clearly had to have served under your father with him as head coach for enough years, yes?
Yes, from 84 to 96 when he retired as head coach.
And was that not what we would all think it to be, or was it? No, it was my dad. Of course it was a ball. Yeah, I was there to do a job, but it was tons of fun being on my dad's staff.
It was great. I mean, how many adults get to say that they spend every afternoon in the fall with their father? And, you know, he stayed on. He actually took a year or two off, and then he was our special teams coach for about 8 years. So that continued coaching alongside with him. And then he was here on campus every day until 2020. So, yeah, the falls were just a wonderful and are a wonderful time, especially being able to be with your dad and coach right alongside of him.
And for those that didn't hear it, I had interviewed Jay Paterno, the son of Joe Paterno. And Jay, if you didn't hear it, go back and listen. You'll hear him tell me that they did kind of have to fight through that dynamic of, okay, Joe Paterno's son, I guess you're just going to get everything handed to you and it's going to be easy. And so Joe pushed him a little harder than he would have if it wasn't his son. And very enjoyable interview. If you didn't hear that, go back and listen to my conversation with Jay Paterno. Mike, let's close by having you share about your wife, how long the two of you have been in the sacrament of holy matrimony, as well as the family that the two of you have made. We heard briefly a reference to your oldest daughter and her first confession. Plus, way back in the intro, I had said that you coached your kids in youth basketball and lacrosse.
Yes, so Michelle is my wife. She has, for some reason, put up with me for 36 years. And hat tip to all coaches' wives. You know, they give up a lot during whatever season that is. And so they need to be applauded for that because what we do for these young men and in some cases young women is very important. So hat tip to all coaches' wives, but especially my wife, Michelle. And we've got daughters, Danielle. The boys are Michael and Matthew and Andrew. All attended Georgetown Prep. Of course, my daughter didn't. And then we've got two wonderful granddaughters, Magnolia and Maeve, and they live in the same state as you, Bruce. They're on the East Coast, and I know you're on the West Coast of Florida.
Now, what about sports participation for your children? Youth basketball and lacrosse, how many of the children were playing those sports?
They all played a lot of different sports.
Wow.
Yeah, football, wrestling, baseball, lacrosse, field hockey. I mean, you name it, they played it. Now, it was very rare that they did two sports in one season, fortunately. I know a lot of kids do that, but luckily we were normally just a one sport per kid per season.
Well, congratulations to you and Michelle on 36 years. As you said, for her to let you go and pursue what you wanted to, which was all the years you spent coaching football. If you think about the statement audience that Mike made about they as coaches spend more time with those student athletes than some of their teachers and possibly even their parents and the key role that that is, that's also, Mike, time that you could have been spending with her. So it is a tip of the cap to Michelle to say, I can stand here and tell him, why don't you stay home and be with me? But I know that his heart is with those boys.
Absolutely. Well said.
Mike, really great to have you on the show. Thank you so much for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. I so enjoyed the conversation. God bless you and your family.
Thank you, Bruce. God bless you as well.
And audience, my gosh, all the years that Mike spent as a coach. He's trying to get away from it. He's back, but he's trying to get away from it. It's only fitting that we close this week's episode with one of our prayers for coaches. So let's do that together right now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
From 2 Timothy, endure hardship, fulfill your ministry. In the future, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness. Lord, help me remember you are always with me, especially during tough times in my life. Remind me that your trials are for my benefit and that you use time to build me up to make me stronger. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, X, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.